The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on August 12, 1993 in Damodar Desh. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 4, Texts 4 through 7.
মনো ভুজরে বচ অহংকার ইতি মে ভিন্না প্রকৃতিরষ্টদা অপরেয়মিতস্ত্বন্যা প্রকৃতিং বিদ্ধি মে পরা জীবভূতাং মহাবাহো যেয়েদং ধার্যতে জগত এতদ যোনিনি ভূতানি সর্বাণি চোপধারয অহং কৃষ্ণস্য জগত প্রবহা প্রলয়স্তথা মতা পরতরং নান্যত কিঞ্চিত অস্তি ধনঞ্জয় ময়ি সর্বমিদং প্রোটং সূত্রে মণিগণা ইব।
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. All together these eight constitute my separated material energies. Beside these, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mine, which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. Translation: created beings have their source in these two natures. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. Mata paratrang nanyat kinchit asti dhananjaya mayi sarvamidang prohutam sutre mani gana iva. O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strong poured by Srila Prabhupada. There is a common controversy over whether the Supreme Absolute Truth is personal or impersonal. As far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, the Absolute Truth is the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. And this is confirmed in every step. In this verse in particular, it is stressed that the Absolute Truth is a person, that the personality of Godhead is the Supreme Absolute Truth, is also the affirmation of the Brahma Samhita, Ishwaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchit Ananda Vigraha. That is, the Supreme Absolute Truth, personality of Godhead, is Lord Krishna, who is the primeval Lord, the reservoir of all pleasure, Govinda, and the eternal form of complete bliss and knowledge. These authorities leave no doubt that the Absolute Truth is the Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. The impersonalist, however, argues on the strength of the Vedic version given in the Svetasvata Upanishad 3.10, Tato ya dutarat tarang tat arupam anamayam. Yeai tat vidhuramritaste bhavanti ate thare dhukam eva vyanti. Translation. In the material world, Brahma, the primeval living entity within the universe, is understood to be the supreme amongst the demigods, human beings, and lower animals. But beyond Brahma, there is the transcendence who has no material form and is free from all material contaminations. Anyone who can know him also becomes transcendental. But those who do not know him suffer the miseries of material world. Unquote, end of quote. The impersonalist puts more stress on the word arupam, but this arupam is not impersonal. It indicates the transcendental form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge, as described in the Brahma Samhita quoted above. Other verses in the Svetashvata Upanishad, namely the 3rd chapter, 8th and 9th verse, substantiate this as follows. Note that these are the previous two verses to the other verse we read here from the Svetashvata Upanishad.
Vedahametam purushang mahantam aditya varnang tamasa parastat tam eva vidityati mrityumeti nanyapanta vidyate yanaya yasmad parangana parangasti kinchit yasmananiyo nao jayosti kinchit Riksha iva stabdho divi tishtatyekas tenedang purnang purushena sarvam.
Translation. I know that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all material conceptions of darkness, only he who knows him can transcend the bonds of birth and death. There is no way for liberation other than this knowledge of that Supreme Person. There is no truth superior to that Supreme Person because he is the supermost. He is the smaller than the smallest, and he is greater than the greatest. He is situated as a silent tree, and he illumines the transcendental sky. As a tree spreads its roots, he spreads his extensive energies. End of translation. Prabhupada continues. From these verses, one concludes that the Supreme Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all-pervading by his multi-energies, both material and spiritual. Thus end the translations to the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, the purport of text 7, in the matter of knowledge of the Absolute. Om Tat Sat. Chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. In these few verses, we're given a very clear concept of what our existence is. In this material world, the bodies are comprised of different types of categories of elements, the energy in different states of existence, solids or earth, water, fluids, fire, air, gases, ether, very fine material state. Then there's the subtle energy. This is the mind, the intelligence, and the ahankara. These eight different elements comprise the bodies that we live in. The next verse explains that we are a higher energy, the living person that makes the body of these eight material elements appear alive is a higher energy, apara prakriti. The higher nature is also part of the Supreme Absolute Truth. It's also part of Param Brahma. And Krishna explains that he is that Param Brahma. Later he also explained elsewhere, Mamai Vangsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that all the living entities are my parts. But from different angles he is confirming. Actually, we are part of the Supreme Lord Krishna. It means that we have got similar qualities that he has. Just like if we have a candle, and with one candle you can light many other candles. So from the original candle of Krishna, he can make many other avatars, Rama, Narasimha, Matsya, Kurma, And just like from a fire, a big fire will also shoot out many sparks. But those little sparks, when they're in the fire, they're glowing very nicely. When they come out of the fire, they extinguish, they become cold. When we are in connection with Krishna, we're in the fire, then our full spiritual potential can be easily realized. When we are separated from Krishna, when we're separated from that fire, the spiritual fire, then immediately we're put into this environment of the material nature, and it is a smothering effect. Extinguishes our spiritual force. So whatever we see in this material world, all the created beings, they're a combination of these two energies, whether they're animals or plants, whether human beings or any other entity, they're the combination of these two energies, natures of the Lord, material and spiritual. Modern science is preoccupied with the gross material nature, or maybe some of the subtle, now they're interested also in the consciousness, in some of the fields. For instance, in quantum mechanics and physics, they're now interested in consciousness. In 1986 in Bombay, the Bhaktivedanta Institute had a very big worldwide conference and called the Synthesis of Science and Religion. At that time, big Nobel Science Award winners and religionists, they were there, not only the Hindus, but they're also Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, and different parts of Hindu Dharma. There were also Sikhs, Jains, various groups were there to discuss the synthesis of science and religion. So one of the scientists, he spoke, that 20 years ago, if he would tell me that I would be sitting on a stage discussing with religionists about science, I would tell you that you are crazy. But today I'm here. Because, frankly speaking, we hit a dead end in our investigation of science. We've come up to a certain point now what we find rather is that we have consciousness. I'm paraphrasing. That we have something that acts like a conscious entity in these subatomic particles. As we have, the consciousness seems to be the new realm of scientific discovery. But frankly, we don't know anything about consciousness, so therefore we want to get information from the religious people who may be able to give us some knowledge about this. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, when he traveled around the world, he presented this Bhagavad Gita not as a sectarian book for one religious group, not just as a Hindu holy book, but he presented the Bhagavad Gita as a universal text for all humankind. That when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, there was no other culture in the world. There was no Islam. There was no other culture. It was meant for everyone. And with this faith, Prabhupada would request everyone to read the Bhagavad Gita, study it, understand it. That it's a scientific text. What we are reading here, 8 material elements. You could hear the same thing in a physics class. Maybe instead of saying earth, water, air, they'll say solids, liquids, and gases. Slight difference in terms, but concepts are the same to a certain point. But when it gets up to mind, intelligence, of course the physics doesn't know about mind and intelligence. But we know that we have a mind, we have intelligence. How does it work? What happens when we dream? Scientists may not be able to explain what a dream is. That doesn't mean because they can't explain it that dreams don't exist. We are all dreaming. So where do we get the information? What is a dream? So from the Vedas we find information that we have got two bodies, a gross and a subtle body. when we are sleeping at night, the Atma is going out in a subtle body, and that is known as dreaming. The subtle body is doing so many different things. If a person commits suicide, or there's a sudden kind of a death in an unnatural way, or in other certain circumstances, sometimes the gross body is separated, is killed, so then the subtle body, however, is not able to go on to the next life. So that situation is known as a bhoot or a ghost. And to save relatives from such a hellish existence, we are in Sanatana Dharma, we customarily do Srad ceremony, we do the pindi, we do various ceremony for the benefit of deceased relatives. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is a born Brahmin, born in a Brahmin family. Naturally, he followed all of the rituals. He worshipped Shaligram Shila in his house. He studied the Vedas. He was known as Nimai Pandit. When his father passed away, left his body, then after a certain period of time, 1 year or so, he wanted to go to Gaya, the sacred city in the state of Bihar today called Gaya, which has got a very ancient temple, thousands and thousands of years old. This is a temple of Vishnupad. There the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu are worshipped, and people come from all over the world to perform pindi by worshipping the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, making offerings to that deity, and all the benefits of those offerings are given to the deceased mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, relative, whatever, whoever it might be. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went. On the way, he went up the Ganges, he went to what is his enlightenment, and then he came to Vishnu Gaya. In Vishnu Gaya, he met the great guru, Ishwar Puri. So Lord Chaitanya knew Ishwar Puri because Ishwar Puri had visited his father's house some years before, had given some instruction to his father. So he was very happy to see Ishwar Puri. At that time, in the absence of his father, he thought, now I need a spiritual father. Apart from that, everyone needs a spiritual father. One is first born in the flesh by mother and father. They are also the first guides. They're the first gurus. But then one needs to be born again spiritually. And that birth is with the guru as the father. And the Shastra is the mother. Just a few days ago, I was in Kathmandu, and the king's guru there, Sri Boro Guruji Adhikari, we were at the 27th anniversary of the Sanatan Dharma Seva Sangstan. So at that time, I was asked to speak, and he was also there. So he was pointing out how one is born by mother and father first, but then also there are five types of birth, different kinds of birth one can take, and the second birth is taking birth from, they said there are five fathers, but he said there are different births. So the next birth is to take birth from a guru. So Lord Chaitanya, he fell down at the lotus feet of Ishwar Puri, and he pleaded that, please accept me as your disciple. Give me initiation. Unless one has a guru, how can one cross over the ocean of birth and death? It is essential that one has to take the mantra from a bona fide spiritual master. Then the mantra has a full effect. Only by the mercy of the guru can one get the full mercy of Krishna. So in this way, he's pleaded to Ishwar Puri that, please give me your mercy. I want initiation. So Ishwar Puri initiated Lord Chaitanya gave him the sacred mantras. And Lord Chaitanya, after initiation, he was very blissful. He came out chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He went to the Vishnupad temple. He was chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When he saw the beautiful lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, he was very happy. But he was thinking, why is it I don't have any love? Whose prem ne laktai? Why I'm not feeling any prem? He says, I'm very unfortunate. Here I am seeing the impression of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu and I am not overwhelmed with love. What is wrong with me? Why is my heart so hard? Anyway, he continued then told the brahmanas, let's do the puja for my father. Jagannath Misra, he gave his gotra and everything, his nakshatra. And he performed the pindi. So, part of the function was to offer the abhishek, milk, yogurt, ghee, other sacred items, offer abhishek to the lotus feet of Vishnu. When he was offering the abhishek, then his heart started to fill with prema. The tears started to pour down from his eyes. Then he had a full transformation. Then when he started to dance, he was so ecstatic. He's jumping in the air. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! And just shouting and dancing. And the pujaris, they were frightened. They never saw anybody like that jumping and chanting, Hare Krishna! And falling on the ground. And Lord Chaitanya, he ran out of the temple. And he said, I go now to Vrindavan, the land of Krishna. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhina Pandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute. He Krishna, He Bhajanath, He Vrindavan Bihari Lal, He Krishna, He Govinda. And he is running towards Vrindavan. His wife, his mother, in Navadvip, he's running off to Vrindavan. So there was an Akash, a Daiva Bani from the air. That Gauranga. Gauranga, who is calling my name? From the sky. Gauranga, there is a time for everything. Everything has its proper moment. Now is not the time for you to go to Vrindavan. Now you need to go back to Navadvip and begin the Harinam Sankirtan movement. You return to your mother, Sachi, and your wife, Vishnupriya. Later when you take sannyas, at that time you can go to Vrindavan. Now you need to go back to Navadvip, Mayapur Dham. So then Lord Chaitanya turned around and headed back to Navadvip. So because the Vedic Shastra very clearly explains to us the Atma is Nitya. Ajo Nityang Sasato Purano Nahanyate Hanyamane Sarire. Only the body dies, the Atma never dies. So therefore, there are so many rituals or there are so many ceremonies to purify the consciousness and also to help a relative who already died. Because they don't die, only their body dies. The Atma leaves this body and goes on to the next body. Now we may have a very good body. We may be in a good family. What is the guarantee that our future body will be equally good? That depends on our karma. Karma law is very complicated. In the Puranas, there's explanation how there was a very rich man. He was a landlord, zamindar. And he had so many children. He was working and giving all his wealth to his children. But he never gave them any spiritual wealth, no spiritual development. Simply education, reading, writing, arithmetic, the three R's. But not anything spiritual. So what happened was those children, They were very proud. We're Zamindar's children. We're rich. We're powerful. What do we care for the? So they are very proud people. They are not very proper in their dealings. But the father, he was charitable. He would give donation. The one time, one shoe repairman, he requested some donation, some loan donation, because he wanted to marry his daughter. He didn't have any money, something. So the rich man said, let me help him. He gave a donation. A donation is supposed to be given to brahmanas, supposed to be given to the deities to spiritually uplift people. Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you give, yadasnas, yadadasi, should do it in my name. So then the benefit comes from Krishna. But this, he was a well-meaning person. He didn't know the intricacies of karma. See, our modern-day politicians in India also, they don't know what is the law of karma. They say so many things which are not in keeping with laws of karma. So what happened was, according to law of karma, this shoe repair man, he became a debtor to that rich man. He had to pay back. He's taken money from that rich man. He has to give it back. Now how to pay back that debt? So the rich man, when he left his body, he took birth as the son of the shoe repair man. From big zamindar, now he was born in a family of the shoe man. So it so happened that as the son of the shoe man, what he'll learn in those days, only the son would be the apprentice of the father. So he learned how to repair shoes. So as fate would have it, he went to his own previous house. Now his son was a zamindar. He went there to repair the shoes for his previous son. So he repaired the shoes and he requested a payment. What payment I'll give you? I'm the zamindar here. Because of me only you people are around. You beggars, you know, I'm feeding you because I'm protecting you. And I have to pay you also. All right, you take something here. You take 25 paisa. Sir, 25 paisa for repairing so many shoes. At least I should get 2 rupees. Please, at least I'm a poor man. I had to maintain my wife and children. Please, if you give me 2 rupees. 2 rupees! What? He took the shoe and started beating. You nonsense, you rascal! What? What? Get out from here! Who do you think you are? So his own son was beating the father with shoes. All according to the intricacies of laws of karma. Because why? Father never gave dharma to the children. So laws of karma are very, very complicated. We can, of course, do ostrich philosophy. Ostrich means, in the Australian desert, there's the ostrich, the big bird. When they get cornered by the dingo dogs, these packs of wolf-type dogs called dingoes, they don't know what to do, so they put their head inside a hole. Now dog is gone. I don't see anymore. Like that rabbit sometime, if you corner the rabbit, nowhere to go, then he close eyes. Okay, no more. I don't see it anymore. No more danger. Danger is not gone. Then they just jump and he finished. He gets finished in a second. We can say, oh, I don't want to be bothered with all these problems of life. Let me just forget it all. That's there. Ignorance is bliss. But any intelligent person, they know what these things are going on, how to solve this problem. We are not ostrich or a rabbit to just close our brain. And there is a solution. That's why the Vedas have prescribed that Yajna Vai Vishnu in the Bhagavad Gita here. Very clearly, we are given the help how we can get out from these problems. That if we, that actually we are meant to do sacrifice for the pleasure of Krishna. And those who do sacrifice to please Krishna, they get freed from these intricacies of karma. Nobody can escape the laws of karma, but we need to know how it works and how to overcome it. Third chapter, Bhagavad Gita, ninth verse, explains, Yajyartat karmano nyatra loko yam karma bandhana tadartam karma kunteya mukta sangha samachara. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. So whatever we do, under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, if we do our daily activities, our daily duties, as a sacrifice for the pleasure of Krishna, then we are now naturally freed from the bondage of the laws of karma. Also, we need to do some specific sacrifice. In the Satya Yuga, the sacrifice was meditation. Krite Dayatong Vishnum Tretaya Yajata Makai. In Treta Yuga, it was fire sacrifice. Dwarapayam Pradicharjayam. In Dwarpa Yuga, it was worshipping the Lord in the temple. Kalotad Hari Kirtanat. And in Kali Yuga, it's chanting the Hari Kirtan. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Iti Sodasakam Nam Nam Kali Kalamasha Nashanam Nata Parata Upaya Sarva Vedesha Dishate. Kali Santana Upanishad explained, these 16 names destroy all the bad qualities of Kali Yuga. Nata Paratupai. There are no other better alternative. No other alternative mentioned in the Vedas other than chanting the holy name. Sarva Vedesha Dishate. It's found in all the Vedas. In the Brihadaradiya Purana it states, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namaiva, Kevalam, Kalova, Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. The Lord Chaitanya one day called his followers and I read this verse in this Brihadaradiya Purana. Now there Vyasadeva, he said three times, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namaiva, Kevalam. He wanted to be so sure that no one would misunderstand what he is saying. So if you want to be very emphatic about something, you say, yes, yes, yes. It's like this, it's like this. If you say three times, it means it's very emphatic. So he's saying the holy name of Krishna, holy name of Krishna, holy name of Krishna. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva, Kevalam. People are very much attracted by Kaivalya. Kaivalya and Kevala also are linked. Kaivalya is mentioned in the Vedas, the achieving of moksha. But if one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can, just by accidentally chanting Hare Krishna, one can also achieve Kaivalya, or liberation. The liberation is so great, the chanting is so great, that the getting liberation is a byproduct. It's not the highest thing one can get. Then again, just like it said, Nata Parata Upaya, no other alternative will work in the age of Kali. Here in this Upanishad, in this Purana, there's a Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatir Anyata. As far as any other way, there's no other way, no other way, no other way. After such an emphatic state, where is the question? Not that other ways are not, you see, we respect all the methods of jnana, methods of karma, and so on. Methods given in the Vedas, we respect those methods. It's not, they're all bona fide methods, and they're also the yuga dharmas in different yugas. But in this day and age, they don't have the shakti to take us to the final destination. It's just like people used to walk around the world. Marco Polo walked from Europe to India and China, and then people were also going from Dubai by these wooden boats and going and visiting India and everywhere. But now the people use motor boats. Maybe some people are still going by sailboat, but main commerce is not depending on sailboat. Now they're using steamer motorboat or they're using jet airline. They're going by plane. So according to that time, there are different means of transportation. Like that in Dharma, according to that time, there's different methods which are useful. That doesn't mean other methods are not good. They're also good. They're very good. They're holy methods. But the point is that they will not cure you from the disease. Just like there was once a story how one man, he went to the drugstore. Do you have, you must have drugstores and people get sick in the Emirates? But there's so much money, why you'll get sick? If you have money, you're happy, right? Is that true? There's money, there's happiness. You can say without money, there's problem. But with money, that doesn't also mean you have happiness. Happiness is something different. So we need also, everybody wants to be happy. So the happiness comes from within. That happiness we can easily get if we have the proper spiritual consciousness. Then we become happy. Now, there was one man, he went to the drugstore. He walked in the drugstore and he just asked the attendant in the drugstore, that, "My dear sir, this is a drugstore?" He said, "Yes." "You sell medicine?" "Yes." "Okay, I want to buy a medicine." "Very good. What medicine do you want?" "I want a good medicine." "Good medicine. All my medicine is good." "What? What's your problem? You have any chest problem, asthma problem, blood sugar, skin? What medicine you want? Don't get all these details. I just want a good medicine. You give me a good medicine." "A good medicine? And all my medicine is good. What do you mean? What medicine? What problem you have? What medicine you want?" "Are, don't ask me all these personal questions. I want a good medicine. Will you give me a good medicine or not? What is wrong with you? All my medicine is good, but every medicine has got its purpose. What medicine you need? I want good medicine." "Hare, this guy is crazy, God." So we know every medicine is good. All dharma is good. But what disease we have now in Kali Yuga, that nature of our material entanglement, the anxieties, the stress. Just one of our patrons, I was in Siliguri, we're building a temple. He came and he said, "The poor people think when you're rich you're happy, but when you're rich then you think that you have so many anxieties, sometimes you can't sleep at night. How to meet all the different commitments and everything, even though the money may be there, but other problems are there. One cannot also sleep, you have to take pills just to sleep. At least the poor people can sleep." So he had his own philosophy like that. Every person is individual. Everyone, we know if a person has a proper spiritual environment, then these material problems are not obstacles. They can be overcome, whatever the problem may be. Arjuna was prince, social leader, warrior. Here in this verse we read today, describes him as Dhananjaya, conqueror of wealth. He was also very wealthy. If you're the emperor of the world, who has more money than you? But Krishna never told him to give up your wealth. He didn't tell him to give up the war. Didn't tell him to give up his duty. He said, "Whatever you have as your duty, you do it for me. Then you will come to me." But what's the problem now in Kali Yuga? In those days, Arjuna could accept. But now in Kali Yuga, where do we have the strength, even if we want to do what Krishna wants us to do? We don't have the strength to do it. Neither we don't have the bhakti to do it. Krishna tell Arjuna, "You do it for me." He would went out and fought with a smaller army. He fought the huge army of the Kurus and defeated them like anything. The Kurus' generals were changing every few days. But Arjuna never changed. He was the general from beginning to the end. The Kurus were routed. All 100 sons of Dhritarashtra were finished just by Bhima alone. Everyone knows, we watch the Mahabharata, whether at least the people are watching on the video series. Some people are reading. Or they're Amar Chitra Katha or something. Everyone knows Mahabharata. So Arjuna, he was so victorious. He had that bhakti. But do we have such bhakti? We are willing to do everything like Arjuna. taking part as Sarati Krishna as our guide, we may not have it. Then how to get it? That's why we need to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because this Hari Nam gives bhakti. You see, in those days, either you had it or you didn't have it. See, money, you can earn money. But how do you earn bhakti? How do you get bhakti? You can climb up to the Himalayas. You can go meditating under the water. You can bathe thousands of times in holy rivers. But that doesn't guarantee you get bhakti. That devotion where you want to serve Krishna, whether when you serve Krishna you feel inside happy, like the parent feels happy to serve some loved one, love serving the child, to feel that type of, you know, even a more higher, purer type of love when we are serving Krishna, that bhakti comes very, very rarely by other means. But if one chants the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, different bhajans, then that bhakti comes. Also, bhakti comes in various ways. Holy name is the most important. Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very important. The Bhagavatam also gives bhakti. Tomorrow is Ekadasi. Ekadasi is also a day which is very good to get bhakti. That's why in Ekadasi we don't take any grains or cereals and or dal pulses, but we just take Krishna prasad. We call the simple fruits and roots and things, vegetables, non-grain for one day, twice in a month. And that day we chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Ekadasi can also give bhakti. Worshipping that tulasi plant, this can help to give bhakti. Few things are there. Serving the devotee of the Lord, they help to give bhakti. Somehow if we get bhakti, then we can overcome all the problems of karma and we can achieve all the success in life. We can, at the end of this life, when we leave this body, the Atma goes back to Krishna. Krishna said that my devotee doesn't have to take birth again. So we thank all of you because you are all devotees. Here we are just like, to come here we had to call up and go through travel agent and get booking and get to the airline, then reconfirmation, everything. Of course, visa and all that had to also be arranged. Then we can come. But this only transit visa. Of course, we want everyone should get permanent visa to the spiritual world. There's not a place for transiting. That's a permanent place. But then we have to also book our ticket ahead of time, make reservation, everything. So that process is through bhakti yoga, to prepare ourselves. Actually, the price, if you want to go there, Krishna will take you. But wanting, really wanting to go, comes when you have bhakti. If you love Krishna, you want to be with Krishna. And if you don't love Krishna, you won't want to go there. So then you won't go there. So Krishna is the most lovable. But we are so unfortunate, we don't love Krishna. We don't love Rama. We don't love the Vishnu. Instead, we are loving so many temporary things, which brings us back to the material world. How to transfer our love to Krishna? Actually, it's natural for us to love Krishna. Simply, we need to purify our consciousness. That's why Lord Chaitanya said, to chant the holy names, Cheta Darpana Marjam, you cleanse your consciousness, your love for Krishna will come out. If you love Krishna, you love everyone, because everyone is part of Krishna. That's why the devotees, they don't want to harm anyone. They are wishing Sarva Jagata Mangalam, Vasudeva Kutumbakam, whole world is a family under Vasudeva. We thank you very much for your attention. If there's any question, you have a question? You like singing Hare Krishna? You like eating Krishna prasadam? Very good. Do you want me to give you a Krishna prasad? Any other question?
He's asking,
what is the meaning of Swadharma? Because in Bhagavad Gita it says one should do one's swadharma, doing someone else's paradharma is fearful, dangerous. Do you have Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita?
He wants to buy one today. He asked me
before. Very good. Today is actually December. Abhi December mein to Gita Jayanti. What? A Gita path hua December mahina mein. So whoever takes Bhagavad Gita in this month is very auspicious. Also, if you want any devotee to sign, also the devotee can sign. We are doing a book marathon distribution. Yesterday, before coming here, one gentleman took 600 Bhagavad Gitas in Calcutta. I signed the form and he took the 600 Bhagavad Gitas and I raced to the airport. Reached 10 minutes before departure for 600 Bhagavad Gitas. He has a cloth shop, so he gives to the best customers. And he gave also 200 that devotees can give out to our villagers, to the poor people who are devoted but they can't afford. Chapter 3, text 35. Hey, you eat but don't talk, please. Sriyan swadharma viguna paradharmat swanustitat swadharme nidhanang sreya paradharmo bhoyavaha. Translation. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faultily, than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties, for to follow another's path is dangerous. Purport. One should therefore discharge his prescribed duties in full Krishna consciousness rather than those prescribed for others. Materially prescribed duties are duties enjoined according to one's psychophysical condition under the spell of the modes of material nature. Spiritual duties are as ordered by the spiritual master for the transcendental service of Krishna. But whether material or spiritual, one should stick to his prescribed duties even up to death, rather than imitate another's prescribed duties. Duties on the spiritual platform and duties on the material platform may be different, but the principle of following the authorized direction is always good for the performer. When one is under the spell of the modes of material nature, one should follow the prescribed rules for his particular situation and should not imitate others. For example, a Brahmana who is in the mode of goodness is nonviolent, whereas a Kshatriya who is in the mode of passion is allowed to be violent. As such, for a Kshatriya it is better to be vanquished following the rules of violence than to imitate a Brahmana who follows the principles of nonviolence. Can you imagine a policeman when he's out to see you're being robbed and you say, "Police, help me." He said, no, I'm going to be nonviolent. At that moment, you want him to do his swadharma and save you from the thieves. So Prabhupada continues, everyone has to cleanse his heart by a gradual process, not abruptly. However, when one transcends the modes of material nature and is fully situated in Krishna consciousness, he can perform anything and everything under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. In that complete stage of Krishna consciousness, the Kshatriya may act as a Brahmana, or a Brahmana may act as a Kshatriya. In the transcendental stage, the distinctions of the material world do not apply. For example, Viswamitra was originally a Kshatriya, but later on he acted as a Brahmana. Whereas Parasurama was a Brahmana, but later on he acted as a Kshatriya. Being transcendentally situated, they could do so. But as long as one is on the material platform, he must perform his duties according to the modes of the material nature. At the same time, he must have a full sense of Krishna consciousness. Is that clear now? That's why, you see, Bhagavad Gita, when is very simple, but still is difficult for people to understand. And many times people give the explanation. After hearing the explanation, one becomes more confused. So Prabhupada, when he was asked to recommend the Bhagavad Gita when he went to the West, Gita in English, he had a very hard time which one to recommend. Because everyone, little bit here or there, people put in the different ideas. So that's why then he translated the Bhagavad Gita, simply giving the direct explanation. He studied what were all the versions of the Acharyas, and those explanations he included without changing anything. So therefore, it's easy to understand, very easy to understand what, how to apply this knowledge. Knowledge needs to be applied. So both the application as well as the meaning is given here. Bhagavad Gita is a practical book for us to apply in our day-to-day life. It's not just the philosophy which is not related to our own problems. Arjuna had problems, we all have problems. So this how to get over the problem, that practical advice is given here in the Bhagavad Gita. Any other question? No. You see, if a person is dies in an accident, we call that in English an accidental death. But it's what it really means is that you die in an accident. Say there's a car accident or something, and all of a sudden there's like a wow. You just, you know, you weren't planning to die. You're completely into your material situation. And there's like a sudden death due to an accident or due to someone shooting you or something. So that type of a sudden death where a person wasn't at all prepared, had no warning, it was just a sudden type of a situation. Sometimes they're so attached, they're so attached to the situation that they were in that they just can't suddenly leave it. So they remain around, but they're in a ghostly body. Many times people, you know, they suddenly a relative passes away and then the relative comes in the dreams and things like that happen. It's not unheard of. So this pindi and all these things are to release those atmas from that situation. In the West, there was, modern movie, Ghost. It's just dealing with that type of thing. Man was suddenly shot. I saw an in-flight in the airplane. It's pretty amazing because just like in Bhagavatam, it describes that Ajamil was being dragged by Yamaduta. It shows Yamaduta is coming and dragging the Atma, dragging the subtle body from the dead bodies of sinful people. And good people, they are going off to some swarga type place. It's not very philosophical movie as such. But it's interesting that whatever is explained in the Bhagavatam, more or less they show that. Yes. Doesn't mean that. It means by taking this water, you can be saved from these type of things. You can be saved. 100% you will be saved. That guarantee is not given. But you can be saved from these things. People have been saved in the past. There's also a question of faith. Maybe a person has taken the tulsi, but later in the day he did so many bad karma. Again, they call it the hati snan. Elephant is going in the water, bathing, coming out and throwing the dust. So many factors are there. In no way can we diminish the potency of these different activities. At the same time, in the spiritual activities, it's not a mechanical. It's not like you're paying your income tax. There are some conscious discrimination applied by Krishna. But generally, people that are taking these things, we had one devotee, the doctor said, there is no hope for you. You are definitely going to die in 6 months. So the devotee went to Vrindavan, was just taking the Charanamrita of the deity. The doctor said that we've seen many cases, practical cases, where this happened. No, it's also the mercy of Krishna, but If a person thinks, okay, I took Charanamrita today, I don't have to look left and right when I cross the street. I'm invincible. I'm like a Superman. I took Charanamrita. I'll just walk in the street, red light, green light, doesn't matter. No car can hit me. I mean, you're asking, you know, certain amount of discrimination is needed also. No? Yes. Oh, you see, that's the Vibhuti chapter. Krishna is describing of all, I'm the, of all great and wonderful things, I am the best of each of those. This is just to give us an indication of the greatness of Krishna. Like, in a woman, what are her good qualities? Krishna says, I am these. In a man, what are the good qualities? I am these. In a liquid, in milk or water, any of the sweet taste of that liquid, that is it, that I am that. So amongst the Pandavas, who is the most famous, the most prominent of the Pandavas? Is Arjuna. Arjuna Dhananjaya. Although Yudhisthira is the oldest, he's still the most, you can say, of the, all the Pandavas, Arjuna was the most prominent. So that Krishna, amongst Pandavas, I'm Arjuna. Although he was the third son. He was very prominent, very. He was of the outstanding character. Although all were outstanding, and each in their own way. Does that answer your question? But then just like today we read the verse where Krishna is here saying that everything is spread on me like pearls on a thread. Similarly there, Krishna said, what is the use of telling all these glories? With just a fraction of my energy, I'm manifesting the whole universe. These are all external things. Most people, if you tell them, well, Krishna has the Sachidananda Vigra, they, except for, you know, very philosophical people, they're trying to understand what is the body of blissful, eternal knowledge. So then just for the people who do not yet have a spiritual concept, he explains the water bodies and the ocean and the luminaries in the sky and the sun. So then, you know, a person with a material vision, they can say, well, the sun is the brightest in the sky and the ocean is the biggest water, bigger than a lake or a river. So they, if you start meditating in this chapter, then you come to the understanding that Krishna, the Lord, is greatest, greater than the greatest. He's the best of all. But these are all very, these are external examples. Just to bring a person to appreciate Krishna's greatness. How to get more bhakti? Could you repeat that again? What is the question?
How to get more bhakti?
What did I say today? What was the thing we should do to get more bhakti? Chant. So, one thing we should do is we should chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came especially to give bhakti. Great rishis and great devas came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu secretly, even from other planets. And they said that, Lord, you have come and you are giving what no avatar has given. Other avatars have given moksha, but no one has given bhakti. Bhakti is the perfect level of moksha. Because if one has bhakti, moksha is automatically there. So we want your blessing to have bhakti. So if we can get the blessing of, you want more bhakti, you need to get more blessing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then you'll get bhakti very quickly. Any last question? Well, that because Krishna is saying that whatever you give away, you should give in my name. Sometimes, when a person is in the society, there might be some circumstances you have to give, even money. It's like, say, the earthquake in Maharashtra. So what people gave us money, what we did is we brought 5 truckloads of food and we offered to Krishna. We gave out a Krishna prasad. So we're feeding the people who are needy. We also gave tents and gave other things because it was an emergency situation. But we're doing what? In the name of Krishna. That this all being given, why? Because this is in the name of Krishna. Krishna cares about you. So in this way, because you're doing in the name of Krishna, then we will let Krishna get the credit, but Krishna also can take any responsibility. We just want to get Krishna's blessing. That's why when you do the yajnas, there's a mantra that says, idam krishnaya idam na mama, that whatever benefit from this yajna, let it go to Krishna, not to me. So why would one say that? Because we don't want to get the blessing from Krishna. If we give to Krishna, he is the most generous person. If someone gives to Krishna, he gives back tens, hundreds of times more. So we want to give to Krishna, then we always depend on Krishna's mercy. So that's the bhakta. If they give to Krishna, they depend on Krishna's mercy. So we say, okay, people are needy, I have some obligation I have to do. The best thing is to give them prasad, to give them in that way, because that will not only benefit them materially, but spiritually as well. And that will also protect you, that you are giving them Krishna, so you're not entangled in their karma. Krishna Arpan. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Says here that everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. Mat arpanam, Krishna says. Mat is unto me arpanam. Do it as an offering to me. So it would, if you say Krishna arpanam, depends what is the consciousness. If someone thinks, well, the poor people, they're also Krishna, so I'm giving to Krishna. then that would not be correct, because it's not that poor people are Krishna. Krishna is never poor. But that we think that, there are certain ways in doing it which will be service to Krishna. If the whole society is Krishna, just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, best thing is serve me directly. If you cannot fully serve me in bhakti, then practice serving me, do abhyas, chanting and doing regulated bhakti. If you cannot do that, then at least work for me. Do service for me. And if you can't do that, then he said, all right, give charity to others, because by giving charity to others, you will learn to, you eventually also learn to do the greater sacrifice of serving me. Why the people are suffering is because of bad karma. They have forgotten Krishna and they are suffering because of the bad karma. So when you're engaging them somehow in Krishna's service, at the same time you're solving some immediate problem, that also will protect them from future problems. But if you just solve the immediate problem, again, there are bad karmas, so bring them to more problems. So we see the total welfare of a person. So just saying Krishna Arpanam has to also be backed up by a proper understanding how this is serving Krishna. At least the name is good, but to be fully sure, if you're directly giving to Krishna, then there's no question. Or if you're going to do a service to Krishna, which is going to benefit directly others, that should be under the guidance of some guru who knows the intricacies, how it should be done. So that way you'll be guaranteed that there'll be no problem, that you'll be able to give maximum benefit. The point is good, but just if you say Krishna Arpanam, say there's some beggar, he said, give me some money, and you say Krishna Arpanam, and you give money, he goes and buys some whiskey drinks and then does some horrible thing. Just because you said Krishna Arpanam, does that mean that it's actually who you're giving to Krishna? Your mother also is not saying to do that. She also said you have to use some discrimination. In Bhagavad Gita 18 chapter, it mentions that there's Dan in mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. If you're giving it for the welfare, say that there's a brahmana or there's some devotee, there's someone who's doing Krishna's service. So then, if I give money to this person, they'll use it for Krishna's service. So I say, Krishna Arpanam, I'm giving this to you, Krishna, because this is your representative. Then you're not responsible. Now say, any devotee, he's saying, all right, on behalf of Krishna, you give me donation, we're doing some Krishna seva. In good consciousness, you give that person money. But then that person takes the money and misuses. You're not responsible because you gave it to Krishna Arpanam. You gave it to Krishna. And that person is, as far as you can understand, he's representing Krishna. But then, if that person misused the money, he has to take the bad karma. Why he is not only that, but he's done aparad by stealing from Krishna. So there's different aspects like that. But if someone is obviously not doing Krishna's service, not doing anything for Krishna, then just if we say Krishna Arpanam. That's what Krishna says in the Gita. If you give to someone without considering the time, the place, the circumstance, how it will be used or anything, you're just giving like that, almost in a foolish, that's in the mode of ignorance. But if you give charity with idea, okay, I'll give him money and I'll get something back in return. Sometime like due to business connection, we have to give some donation. We know that I give this person donation, then later I'll get some benefit. I can also get donation from him or something, whatever. That's a little bit in the mode of passion. And if one gives just that, all right, let this be for the welfare of others, let this be for that Krishna will be pleased, that I'll get his blessing, given at the proper time, in a proper place, the proper person, then that is in the mode of goodness. I know tomorrow is still a work day, so I don't want to go further. Hare Krishna, thank you. You see, what you are saying, nothing is wrong. The problem is, you are saying in my opinion. So what happens, you have one opinion, he has opinion here. Your opinion may be correct opinion. But the thing is, because you are saying in my opinion, someone may think, well, that's his opinion. They all consider you are this type of person, how much weight to give it. That's why what Prabhupada wanted is people like yourself who are religious-minded people should study the Bhagavad Gita. Don't say this is my opinion. You say Krishna's opinion is like this. He's saying there's so many, there's karma, jnana, there's bhakti. Actually, you can analyze Christianity or Islam or any other religion according to these principles. What is karma? Jnana. So Prabhupada said that Christianity and Islam, they believe in one God. So the Vaishnava Tattva is also one supreme God. Although we believe in devas, but devas are also different aspects. But the complete supreme one God is there. Param-Brahma.
And calling by any name is still okay.
So that actually they are also like branches of Vaishnava Dharma.
Yes. They are supposed to help us in many ways.
This was how Prabhupada was preaching in the West. He told him, why don't you read the Bhagavad Gita? Don't think that Bhagavad Gita is a sectarian book. He told Christian priests, he went to the seminary, to the convent, and he told them, read Bhagavad Gita, but don't think Bhagavad Gita is for the Hindus. See, Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago, there was no Christianity, no Islam, nothing. There was one human being in the whole world. That time he spoke for all human beings. And in Gita it says, Jovanam, Kumaram, Jovanam, Dihino Smin Jita Dehe, Kumaram, Jovanam, Jara, Dehantara, Prabdi, Dhiras Tatta Namuyati. That we are changing our bodies. We are going from childhood to youth to old age. Now, do you mean to say only the Hindus are going childhood to youth to old age? Christians, Buddhists, Muslims, they are not going from childhood to youth to old age. Krishna, when he is saying the human being, the bodies are going from these changes. This is being spoken for everyone. It's not he's saying the Hindus are going from youth to old. Everyone is going through these changes. This is the science of life. You see, and how just like our body has changed. We had a small child body, youth body, now old body. Now so many, the science now says after every 7 years or 12 years, I believe, all the cells in the body are changed over. In 12 years. What we were 12 years ago, this body, we no longer have the same body. Already changed. Continuity is there, but the cells are different. So already how we are changing the body, what is keeping the continuity of consciousness? So Krishna is saying it's because Atma is there. And that Atma is not changing, although body is changing. So just like we change body so many times, when this body we leave it, that Atma goes on, it simply goes and takes a new birth. So now you say officially Christianity and Islam doesn't believe in reincarnation.
They don't believe.
But Buddhism and Hinduism believe. The difference now is the science has found thousands and thousands of evidence proving the punarjanma. They don't know. That's why officially, because it's discovered in America and Russia, because they are officially Christian lands, or they are not able to admit it officially. They are keeping skeptical. But the scientists are going on finding more and more evidence. They found so much evidence that the recently, the Pope, about 5 years ago, he called the conference the Science and Religion. And most of the scientists came there and showed various proofs how there's a reincarnation. How through hypnosis, through, now they have a photography called Kirian photography. Have you heard? This can photograph the aura. The aura around the body.
Russians are supposed to be having this photo.
I've seen
the photo.
Russian is really advanced. Russia did
that. They're photographing even the soul of the man and even the tree.
But this is not actually the Atma, because Gita says we have two bodies. No, we have the Bhumi Apo Naru Bhayu. We have that subtle body. We have the earth, water, air, ether, fire body. This is this physical body. Then he says that we have also Buddhir, Mo Buddhir Ahankara. This is Sukha Sriya, the subtle body. Now, Atma is attached to subtle body by Ahankar. That subtle body goes into the gross body. Liberation doesn't mean death. Death, we are still in a samsara. When we liberate it from the subtle body, that is the mukti. So when we leave the gross body, we go with our subtle body. That subtle body, that Kirian photography is able to see the energy, aura of the subtle body. Atma is described in the Vedas as 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. It's a spiritual atom. But it's more powerful than a thousandth of sun, because it's a spiritual energy. But the size is so small, so that they cannot see. What they're seeing is that subtle body. So the Russians, they did an experiment that they put a person who was about to die under this photography. They put the ECG, they put brain scan, and they're watching what's happening. They're photographing. They want to know what is death. So then, that person, gradually the heartbeat stopped. So that oscilloscope went flat. Then gradually the brain waves stopped. So that one went flat. That means now he's considered medically dead. But they were still seeing on the screen that although he stopped breathing, there's two screens. One is that Kirian photography, one is ordinary. Ordinary means nothing, he's dead. The Kirian photography they're watching, they're seeing that still that aura, the light is there around that dead body. Then they saw that that aura went above the body. And this whole thing they're videoing. They're showing it above the body, it's about 12 seconds, it's just hovering above them. Suddenly, it goes off the screen. But they took that to Rome and showed that, and that we were there also in that conference. They showed, look at this, is that. So that all these things, all the scientists who were there, they said, no doubt there is definitely some higher life over this body. But nobody can explain.
I know it is the work of God. No doubt about it. I can't find the end. Oh, I want to find out. Oh, where did the God come? That question he asked in the end. After going all this, he says, where did the God? So I was thinking, if there was no God, you cannot be speaking the way you are speaking.
See, Brahma, he also wanted to find God. When Brahma was born on the lotus from Vishnu, Vishnu Navi, then he didn't know who his father was, who his mother was. He only could there on lotus. So he's just where am I? Where I come from? What am I? No one. He's just looking. It's dark, and he's the lotus is there, and so he's trying to find out who the aura is. He wants to find his, also God. He goes down the lotus on the side, looking. He goes so far. He still can find the also the beginning. He came back again to the top. Then he was wondering what to do. That time the sound came, tapa. You want to know the truth, you have to do tapasya. You do tapa. The two syllable tapa came, then he realized, I cannot find God by looking for him. He has to reveal himself to me. So then he began meditating. And by meditation, then the Lord revealed everything to him. And then he could see Krishna, Vishnu, he could see the reality as it was. And then he got initiation and diksha, and all Vedic knowledge was revealed to him. So Brahma is actually our original guru. We are coming in the line of Brahma. The Buddhists also respect, in Thailand they all respect Brahma very much. Brahma, as they know, the chief of the devas. But Brahma is also a very great guru. So he's handed down this science through the Vyasadeva Narada to Vyasakin. From Vyasa it came to Madhva Acharya, and like this it was handed down. So we're coming in Brahma Madhva, then it came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So actually our Sampradaya is the oldest Sampradaya you can say in this universe. Because Brahma is the first person, we are coming only from Lord Brahma. But now we are in the modern age. So we have also Prabhupada adapt that to the modern day and age. We have to work in the 20th century. That's why he is a revolutionary guru. With keeping the original truths and original traditions, at the same time he applied that, how we can do in 20th century. He's flying around the world in a jet plane. Other Madhva gurus, one guru flew to the west, they banished him. They said that you've left the world, you were left in Bharat. If you cross over the ocean, means you are no longer a guru. Like this, they are being too conservative. The Prabhupada said that nothing like that. Narada Muni is flying all over the universe. It's not limited. That doesn't apply to preaching. If you go from India as a sannyasi and you're preaching, you don't lose your spiritual. If you go maybe and live in another country, you might reduce your culture or your spirituality. That thing may be there. But as a preacher, you don't lose your strength if you're going for preaching. So like this, he showed how to apply the ancient Vedic wisdom in the 20th century. Otherwise, how the Russians, the Americans, the Europeans, the Africans, everyone is now taking the Krishna consciousness. Because at the same, he is adapted to their situation. At the same time, he didn't change it. That's why wherever they are getting the effect.